Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Today the texts give us two stories of forgiveness. In the Old Testament, David has committed adultery and tried to cover it up. When that failed, he committed murder. And God sent the prophet Nathan to him to tell him a story about a man who had a lot of things, a lot of animals, and a man who had just one sheep that was the family pet. And the man takes the family pet, the rich man takes the family's pet, and uses that to feed his visitors. And when David hears that story, he is outraged at the rich man, and he says, this man must be punished. And then Nathan says to him, cutting him down at the knees, you, David, are that rich man. David realizes his sin and acknowledges it, saying, I have sinned against the Lord. And in the New Testament, we hear about a sinful woman who comes to Jesus and washes his feet, kisses his feet, puts ointment on them. And when the Pharisee who had invited Jesus to the meal sees this, in his mind, the Pharisee says, if this man were truly a prophet, he would know who this woman is, the woman who is a sinner, who is touching him. And so Jesus kind of sets him up as well. Knowing what this Pharisee was thinking, he says, there was a man who was owed 500 denarii by one person and 50 denarii by another person. And he forgives both of them. Which of these do you think would be the most grateful? And Simon the Pharisee chooses correctly. He says, well, of course, the person who was forgiven 500 denarii, that person would be the most grateful. And then he points out that this woman is the one who has the most sins to be forgiven. And Jesus reminds the Pharisee that the Pharisee had not even shown him basic hospitality when he came in. But this woman, this sinner, is the one who does. And Jesus says, this woman is forgiven because she acknowledges her sin. As I thought about these texts for today, several questions came to mind. How do you define forgiveness? What does it mean to forgive someone? What is the difference between human forgiveness and God's forgiveness? Does forgiveness mean that the hurt has gone away? How should we respond when somebody causes us pain, when somebody hurts us? A little story might help to answer some of those questions. In October of 2006 in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, a man by the name of Charles Roberts was angry with God. Several years earlier, his first daughter had been born, but she only lived 20 minutes after that time, and she died. And Charles Roberts was angry, and he was angry with God. And so he decided that he would get revenge, that he would get even with God by killing some Christians. And so he walked into an Amish school. He ordered the adults and the boys to leave. He ordered the little girls to lie down on the floor. And then in a moment of preposterous absurdity, he apologized for what he was about to do. One of the little girls, 13-year-old Marion, said, shoot me first. Marion did not survive. When the police surrounding the building heard the shots, they stormed in, but not before Roberts was able to commit suicide. If one of those five who were killed had been a daughter or granddaughter of yours, how would you have responded? Well, certainly shock would have been one of the first things, and anger would have been another thing. And then at some point, there would have been this strong desire to get revenge. But when a person is already dead, how do you get revenge against them? You can't. You can't make them hurt. They're already dead. And so you have that anger within you. Many years ago, I had a patient who had chronic tension headaches. And when you'd put your hands on her neck and shoulders, it was like taking a hold of steel. And I never understood what happened and why she had those recurring headaches until one day she came in and was expressing great anger at a dead relative who had molested her. Her anger raged within her body, and it showed. But she had no recourse. She couldn't get even with him. He was already gone. And while that was clear and understandable, she had not forgiven him. She had not thought that possible, I guess. And so her anger showed in problems with her body. Doctors call that a somatic response. There are several ways that we can respond in situations like that. The first, or one of the first, is to think about revenge. We want to get even with that person. We want to punish them. We want them to feel more pain than what we already feel. I read a story about a couple who were married for 50 years, and they would go for weeks on end without speaking with each other after they had had a spat. Their attempt was to get some revenge, to show their anger. Another way to respond in those kinds of situations is to deny that it bothers you. The thought is, well, I'm just going to rise above it. I'm going to forget this. I'm going to stuff these angry feelings I have deep down inside of me, and they'll never be seen or heard from again. But those emotions tend to build, and they tend to fester, and at some point, they come out. Those pent-up emotions are still there, and they get to be manifested, and unfortunately, in inappropriate ways and at bad times. Another way to respond is to bear a grudge. We wait for an opportunity to get even. Then at the right moment, perhaps at that family reunion, we pounce. And that stuffed down feeling that we have, that bag overflows and spills out in words that make us feel sorry for later. And there's another way that we can respond. It's kind of a current adult option for responding, is to put yourself in the perpetrator's position. Help yourself understand what it's like to live in their shoes. It's an attempt to understand and thereby somehow explain or justify their hurtful actions. The world says this is a very adult way to deal with things. But when we say, okay, it's okay, you had a bad day, or the boss made you angry, I understand, or you've been working very hard lately, those are just offering excuses. When people say to you, or you say to someone else, I'm really sorry I did that, but I was just having such a bad day, that's not forgiveness. We're really justifying an action in that situation. Or when someone does something wrong against us and we say, it's okay, don't worry about it. What have we forgotten here? We're merely trying to understand. And understanding and forgiveness are not the same thing. The simple response when someone apologizes is, I forgive you. You are forgiven. Not making an excuse for them. In the story of the Amish girls who were murdered, some people considered that Roberts had acted out of anger because of the loss of his own child. And somehow that was supposed to explain his actions. And while those kinds of responses are understandable, and even socially acceptable to some extent today, the thought of forgiveness never comes to anyone's mind. So what is it that God calls us to do in situations like when those Amish girls were shot. Well, some people might say, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, the Bible says so, it's okay, I can do that. And I would say to you, you're right. The Bible does say an eye for an eye, and it does say a tooth for a tooth. It says it both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But it's an instruction to Moses in the Old Testament. He's telling Moses about the law of retaliation, which means that you should not retaliate with more force than what the person used against the injured person in the first place. But more importantly, that punishment was to be doled out not by the individual person who was injured, but by someone in the church, some government authority. And so saying an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth for a tooth addresses retaliation. It doesn't address forgiveness. It doesn't address getting even. And in the New Testament, Jesus uses those same words. He says, you have heard it said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. He's also speaking about revenge. And it is there that he says, we should turn the other cheek. Back to the Amish, how did they respond? They took a lesson from our text for today. Nathan said to David, the Lord has put away your sin, you shall not die. And Jesus says to the woman who was a sinner, your sins, which are many, are forgiven. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. In both cases, it was God who forgave the sin, although he did not necessarily remove the consequences of those sins, because eventually David's son that he had with Bathsheba died. According to the world, the Amish responded in an incredible fashion. They didn't seek revenge. They didn't take it out on Robert's family by suing him. They didn't complain to the media about how poorly they had been treated. They didn't complain to having been discriminated against because they were a minority. They didn't seek revenge. They set up a college fund for Robert's children, even though they didn't believe in sending their own children to college. They forgave him because there was no other choice. So how does God react when we commit some wrong? The story is told of a priest in the Philippines who carried a burden of a secret sin that he had committed when he was in Bible college. He had repented, but he just still didn't feel that God had forgiven him. And so when one of his church women said that she was speaking to Jesus in her dreams, he asked her to do a little test. He said, the next time you speak to Jesus, I want you to ask him what sin your priest committed when he was in Bible college. And the woman agreed. And a few days later, the priest asked her, well, did you speak to Jesus? And she said, yes. Yes, I did. And did you ask him what sin I committed? And she said, yes. Yes, I did. And the priest anxiously awaited the answer. Well, what did he say? She said, he didn't remember. When we confess our sins, God forgets them. He doesn't remember them, he forgets them. He wipes your record clean. He expunges your sins from your record so that when you appear before him in heaven, your record is spotless. And because God forgives us, then we have no choice but to forgive others as well. And that is certainly not an easy thing for us humans to do. It's not easy for us to say, I forgive you. We don't have a really good understanding of that concept of forgiveness. But we turn to God to remember that. And so I close by reading a poem from Darlene Estes. It's called Even If. Even if your heart is breaking, your mind is unclear, you're tired and restless and full of fear, Come to me. Even if you say words you shouldn't, you don't do the things you should, you doubt and try to change, but never think you could. Come to me. Even if you thought an evil thought, you thought that thought again. You turned the thought into action and now you're bound in sin. Come to me. Even if you say, but I knew better, I belong to you. God will answer, child, I am not surprised by anything you do. I made you in my image. I fashioned you with care. When you cried tears into your pillow, remember I was there. I have always been and always will be. For even when you do those things, you still belong to me. Even if you do these things, oh child, don't you see? Even if, you can still come to me. There is a secret place that I have created where you may seek my face. This place I have for you is called the Father's warm embrace. And I will place you on my lap and wipe away your tears. Then I will smile, a smile to let you know I am pleased. For when you hurt and when you sinned, still you can come to me. So do not draw back from me, my child. I am Abba, Father to you. Remember, my Lord, my word I said, behold, I make all things new. I will forgive you, heal you, restore you. I will shower you with grace. I will never turn my back to you, but you will always see my face. On your journey home, when I see you, I will run, even if, my child, just come. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.